to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for the third Sunday of Easter, April 30th, 2017, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
In the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is, I think, one of the most beautiful and powerful stories of the resurrection in the Gospels. Luke is the one who tells us this beautiful story about two disciples, Cleopas and an unnamed friend, who are running away from Jerusalem after the crucifixion, walking the long road to Emmaus. Now, there are actually three towns which claim to be that Emmaus. We visited one of them in November on our pilgrimage, Emmaus Nicopolis, which our guide thinks is the best one of the three. And it was absolutely lovely. We had a Eucharist there. But they're going the wrong way, right? They're leaving Jerusalem. They are brokenhearted. They are sad. They're distraught because we had hoped, they said, we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel, and their hope has been shattered. Jesus' crucifixion has ended their hope, and they are just leaving, distraught. Well, this stranger meets them and talks to them and explains to them again about the import of the scriptures. And while he is at table, think about this, at the table, he takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them. Remind you of anything? This story, in a way, reminds us of the power of the Eucharist, in which, like Cleopas and his friend, we too encounter and see and receive the risen Christ. Emmaus was not just something that happened 2,000 years ago to those two disciples. Emmaus happens every time we come together to worship and to break bread. I want to tell you a story of my own personal Emmaus encounter. It was a little over 25 years ago, and I was a seminarian working at a diocesan summer camp in rural western Massachusetts. Beautiful camp where I had worked summers before in college, and was a very formative place for me. And I was back, and I was doing various things at the camp, and had got to know a priest and his family very well, stayed with them on my days off for those years in college. I dated one of the daughters for a while, and the younger son was now a counselor at the camp with me. I was a seminarian, he was a counselor. Well, his birthday weekend came up, and his parents came to pick him up and take him for a nice dinner out, and it was raining, and on the windy road, a van lost control and hit them head on. The father was killed instantly, the priest. His wife, who was a wonderful, powerful social justice advocate who'd been to General Convention many times, she was in a coma and not expected to live. And the son, who was in the back seat, suffered a pretty traumatic head injury and was in the hospital in a coma. Well, you can imagine this was a shattering event for that family, but also for all of us at the camp and in the diocese. And I remember just a blur of weeks where I would go work at the camp and then go to the hospital and visit. Eventually, there was a funeral for both parents because the mother died. It was an amazing funeral. I remember Michael Dukakis, who had just gone through that horrible, humiliating presidential election a couple years before. The father, the priest, had worked for him in his early gubernatorial campaigns and become friends. So he showed up just to be a pallbearer, no retinue. He just showed up to grieve and to participate in this funeral. So, amazing funeral. Afterwards, we're back at the camp and things are sort of getting back to normal. And I remember at this camp we had the same breakfast almost every day. It was either pancakes or waffles, what our director called a syrup vehicle, and I didn't like those very much. But every once in a while, the cook, chip would make the most amazing cinnamon rolls from scratch. You know, the cinnamon rolls that you can smell while they're baking, and they come out of the oven hot, and you put the frosting on them, and it melts down the side. I mean, I loved these cinnamon rolls. So I went to my table, and I waited for the tray. When it came to me, everybody else liked these too, and it was empty. The tray was empty. So I thought, okay. In our camp, to save food and to prevent waste, you had to go around all the other tables before you could go back to the kitchen for seconds. So I took my tray, and I went around to all the other tables, and guess what? Everybody loved those cinnamon rolls. There were no cinnamon rolls. So, okay, into the kitchen I go, and Chip says, "Eric, I'm sorry, I just ran out." And I lost it. I was furious, just enraged that I didn't get a cinnamon roll, my favorite breakfast, and I stormed out of the kitchen and went and sulked in my cabin. So I was feeling bad about this, and several hours later, I was walking on the beach with the chaplain, a wonderfully wise priest, a friend of mine, and I said, "Dan, I don't know what came over me. I'm so upset about this. I'm embarrassed, and I don't know what to say to Chip." And he said, "Eric, you weren't angry about the cinnamon rolls. You were angry about the accident. It wasn't that you didn't get cinnamon rolls. What you wanted was Jack and Nancy." Ah, okay. So that night, I'm meditating on all the events of this day, and I'm lying in my bed in my little cabin, and it's about 10 o'clock at night, and a knock comes at the door. Who could be coming to my cabin at 10 o'clock at night? I open the door, and there is Chip with a tray loaded with fresh, hot cinnamon rolls that he had gone back to the kitchen after his long day to make from scratch and to bake for me. To this day, you know, the Eucharist is the sacrament of the body of Christ, but cinnamon rolls for me are a sacrament of the abundant love of God, a love which overcomes death and reminds us of God's life eternal. Chip, for me, was the presence of God and God's love in that moment. And so was my friend Dan, the chaplain, who spoke to me on the road and said, "Oh, how foolish and slow of heart you are." We have in our lives opportunities to encounter the risen Christ. The great news of Easter is that Jesus didn't just disappear from us through death on the cross. He didn't just disappear even through the ascension or when he disappeared. You know, when I first read this story a long time ago, I was so disappointed. How frustrating for the disciples. They just got him back. They just recognized him and he vanished, right? Why does he vanish? He vanishes because he is now with them forever. He is with them in that meal of the Eucharist. He is with them in their hearts and in their lives as they go forward to live as his body, as his hands, as his presence in the world. We don't need to grieve for Jesus because he is here and with us in this community and in the meal of the bread and wine, which is his life and presence. Those disciples were able to turn around after encountering Jesus and return with joy to Jerusalem to begin their ministry as disciples in a new way, empowered by the presence of Christ. The Eucharist gives us the opportunity to turn around again. Each week, when we're going the wrong way, it gives us the opportunity to be renewed in our spirit and in our life, and to return again with joy to do the work that God has given us to do. This week, we welcome to St. Philip's people from the South Oakland Shelter, people who are temporarily, we hope, homeless, and we'll have the opportunity to share with them, maybe not cinnamon rolls, but food and love. May we offer to them that same witness of Christ's abundant and overwhelming and resurrecting love. May they encounter in us the presence of the risen Christ and leave here uplifted and renewed by their encounter with us and through us with Christ. Amen. Standing, let us affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the